Hey there, and welcome to the Rock Reavers podcast. Here we're all about believing and proclaiming the word. We're totally given to true worship and obedient in taking the gospel to the nations through missions. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope that you'll be blessed by this message.
Karibuni sana Rivers Church. Turn to two or three people. Greet them, say hello. Tell them you look good this morning. Turn to the other one, tell them your face looks radiant. Praise the Lord. Turn to the other person. Tell them someone in this world is waiting for God's voice in you. Tell them, turn to another one. Tell them someone in this world is waiting for God's voice in you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, it's a great privilege again to carry on from where we left off last week. Thank you so much, Pastor Stan Klaus, man of God, my brother. I love you so much. Thank you. Amen. Pastor Doc, I love you, sir. And I love your families. Amen. You guys are amazing. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Wife, I love you too. Amen. Praise God. Amen. If you have a wife in this house, just turn to them and tell them, I love you. Praise the Lord. If you are yet to get there, say, Father, I receive love. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. So we are endeavoring to answer the question as to why discipleship, yeah? And we were able to look at three tenets of the same last week. And so we will carry on from there. Amen. And I will really endeavor to just give you a place to start. As we always say, we're just providing a place for you to start, for people to find a place to step. The Bible says, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Amen. So that they can be functional again. As soon as they can handle, God wants them to handle his work. He wants them to handle destiny. So he says, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. So we have a lifting up ministry. Praise God. We have a lifting up ministry. And everything we do in the house of God should be interpreted from that perspective. That what we are ministering is to help you lift up your hands. Some of the things that we say are not very convenient, but they will end up removing a burden from your shoulder. And the things that we say that are pleasant are like honey. You remember Jonathan with the army, when his father had commanded a fast that God did not sanction. He called the people to fast and the people were going to war. And guys were almost fainting. And Jonathan didn't know. So when Jonathan reached the company, he found some honey and he ate it in disobedience to his father's command. But the Bible says, as soon as the honey hit his mouth, he was strengthened. And he could see that his father had missed God. The word of God is like honey. The Bible says, sweeter also than honey, yea, than the honeycomb. It says, such shall knowledge be to your soul. When the knowledge of God is like such to the soul, the Bible says, it will add fatness to your bones. He says it will be health to your navel. When the word of God becomes sweet in your life, that's when the power of God for healing begins to work. And I can tell you some of the things that the Lord has laid in my heart this morning. The things we will be sharing as you put them to work. Many people will start getting healed of diseases that have a long time been turbulent. Because the cure is not in your body. the cure will come from deep within. So as long as your soul is distracted with turmoil, there is a lack of stillness in your spirit. These things will keep the power of God from reaching your body. Healing is not far from you. It is closer than your breath. If only the word of God will get into your spirit, you will be healed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Right, so number four, if you were writing. Through discipleship, God has chosen to demystify his kingdom. Discipleship demystifies his kingdom. The kingdom of God is a reality, is a present reality. The kingdom of God is on earth. The earth is within the kingdom of God. So that God can do so many things on this planet. Because this earth is not outside of the riches of his authority. And when we talk about the kingdom of God, we are talking about the operation, the legal operation of the will of God among men. Jesus said, no man can enter the kingdom of God except they be born again. No one can participate in God's legal operations on earth if they are not born again. But when they are born again, they have only entered. They haven't started operating. To operate the kingdom, to be a part of what God is doing, God has chosen discipleship as the vehicle. He has chosen discipleship as the tool. As we are trained in the word of God, as we develop, thank you, Lord. As we develop a commitment to God's word, you begin to handle authority that is beyond this planet. And it's an authority that works by love. It is a power that builds. The kingdom of darkness gives a power that destroys. The kingdom of God delivers a power that builds. The kingdom of darkness is propagated through hate. The kingdom of God is propagated through love. More power to the people of the kingdom of darkness, more destruction. More power to the kingdom, the people of the kingdom of God, more good. The more the power plus hate, the more the destruction. The more the power plus love, the more the building. This is why the highest law in this kingdom is the law of love. It is so high. It is a law that personifies God. For the Bible says God is love. And then he says, and in him is no darkness at all. Only where authority is one with word, is there with love, is there no darkness. But when there is authority, in the absence of love, Satan's work will thrive. And everything in the kingdom of God is subjected to that law. No matter what you're entitled to as a Christian, if you don't walk in love, you may never see the manifestation of it. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. Thank you, Lord. His disciples asked him what this parable meant. Now, a parable is a story with a hidden meaning. It's a way, it's what the Bible calls dark sayings. It's a saying, a communication that is not in the light, which means it needs interpretation. Okay? So you need some light to describe what it's talking about. Okay? So, figuratively, when the flaps of this auditorium are loosed and the whole place is covered, everything and everybody may still be in here. But because you cannot be seen or identified or recognized, you are called a parable. Now, when we switch on the lights, we can be able to see and describe. But if the lights are orange, or if the lights are yellow, and what you're wearing is actually blue, nobody may see blue. Which means the quality of the interpretation depends on the quality of light. Are you hearing what we're saying? And this is why in the book of Genesis, the Bible says God created two lights. Those lights were not day and night. On day one, when God said, "Let there be light," that was not the sun. That was what the Bible calls the light of life. Now, if what you have is a lesser light, it will determine your interpretation of things, the things of God. But when you come to the greater light, you begin to interpret things very differently. And for this reason, there are things we may speak about in certain spaces, and then you hear us talk about the same thing in a different space, and you may think it's a contradiction. The thing is, sometimes you may not be able to handle the greater light. You need to move from the lesser lights and come to the greater light. For example, the Bible calls the Old Testament types and shadows, yet the Bible again says the law is a lamp and the commandment is light, which means that the law, the word of the Old Testament, was a certain kind of light. So it revealed how God saw people. Now, if you didn't understand the Old Testament properly, you will not do the will of God, even though you are trying to fulfill the law. And this is why Jesus was crucified by people who are trying to fulfill God's will. The same thing is true today. When the quality of light with which you see the things of God is distorted, is not the right quality, it can cause you to miss the will of God while you're trying to do it. Now, he said, his disciples asked him, "What is this dark saying? What does it mean? Give us the light you have. We can't depend on what we think." Next verse. He said, "That's the light." If you can't hear what he's saying, you will keep walking in darkness. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you." What is that? The light of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, which means it's no longer a secret for you. He said, "It has been given to you, but to others." You remember the others that Pastor Stan talked about, crowd. "But to others, I speak in parables, so that those seeing, they may not see." That God can hide things in plain sight. He doesn't have to keep it from you. Now, I want you to see, who is this exception? He said, "Though seeing, they may not see. Though hearing, they may not understand." Okay, so the same thing is reiterated in the book of Luke, Mark chapter 4. Turn to Mark chapter 4. This is, should be verse 11, 10. Mark 4, 10. "When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables." Who? The 12. The Bible says, "And the others around him." One of the things that discipleship does, as you begin to commit yourself to the word of God unreservedly, is you find to present yourself to his word is to present yourself to him. Do you understand what we are saying? To present yourself to his word is to present yourself to him. The Bible says when he was alone, the 12 and the others around him, they were his company, which means his disciples were always in his presence. And you discover that became one of the prerequisites of a replacement for Judas in the book of Acts chapter 1. The one who qualified to be a replacement for Judas had to have been with Jesus. He had to be amongst these around him, which means Matthias was here. We just don't know about him through the Gospels, but you find out in the book of Acts, he qualified because he was always present. The Bible says whenever Jesus came in and out from among us. So he was always present. Praise God. Which means 12 is a minimum. Did you see that? 12 is the bare minimum. Okay, then verse 11. Now, you cannot be in the presence of God and lack the wisdom of communication. It is only those who are around that could ask. The others heard and then they left. There was no opportunity to get clarity. Which means discipleship empowers fellowship. The more you begin to retract from avenues of God's word, you will discover your relationship with God gets thinner and thinner. It is present, but it's not active. And if it's not active, it's not going to influence your life. If you still think, according to the law, the Bible calls the law types and shadows, shadows. If you still think every time we come to the house of God, it's a time to seek a God that is far, you're operating under the wrong light. You ought to be around him always. And how do you do that? He has chosen to walk with us in the light of his word. If his word is with you, he is with you. When his word is speaking to you, he's talking to you. And that will effect a fellowship. Answers do not come after need. Answers come after fellowship. For that reason, many needs are not met. Because there is no fellowship. The Bible says he told them, the secret of the kingdom has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables. Now, the Bible does teach that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It says, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So the peace you're looking for is unraveled through discipleship. The joy of the Lord, joy unspeakable, full of glory, difficult to describe. That wellspring of joy is enjoyed by the people who are active with the Lord. And then he says, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So there is no kingdom of God without the Holy Spirit. So you're not functioning in the kingdom except you're functioning in partnership with the Spirit. Which means the more you walk in the light of God's word, the less you have to look for the Holy Spirit. You are not surprised when he interrupts your speech. You know, there are many times I am praying, and while I'm praying, the Holy Spirit is also speaking at the same time, and there is no miscommunication. Anybody that knows the Lord can tell you. But the word of God, thank you, Lord Jesus, the word of God plows your spirit and prepares you for his voice. You're not gonna know his voice if you're not open to his word. And so discipleship is a way that the word is fulfilled, where he said, my sheep know my voice. Remember, it's the sheep, not the lambs. Because the lambs have got to be trained by the shepherd. They've got to be trained. So the sheep are the ones who have already been cultivated to follow a voice, not to follow noises. But you do realize the lambs depend on the sheep. So the sheep do the discipling. The sheep do the discipling. Praise the Lord. He said to Ezekiel, I'm not sending you to a people of a strange speech. He doesn't send to you people that are not common to your fellowship. Some people miss God because they think if it's really God, he will send a stranger. Someone who knows nothing about me to come and give me a word. But do you know Jesus said that that's a sign of judgment? He said that a prophet is not with honor except in his own household and amongst his own kin. And he was talking about the rejection of the Jews. What happened later? He said, woe unto you, Jerusalem. You didn't know the time of your visitation. Because one came from among you and you are expecting someone different. He said, is he not the son of the carpenter? Are we not married to his sisters? Don't his brothers work with us? Is this not the son of Joseph? Is not his mother Mary who we see? And the Bible says they took offense at him. That proximity did not guarantee revelation. It is not coming close to Pastor's tongue that will guarantee a change. Are you hearing what we are saying? I said I'm giving you places to start and then hitting a hard stop. Let's move to the next one. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let me combine that with this. All right? Discipleship is the guarantee. It is the guarantee for next generation impact. It's the only guarantee. It is not prayer that guarantees the next generation. You need to know that. That's why today there is a great generation of parents who have been so prayerful all these many years, but their children are wayward and not in church. Because they prayed, but they did not catechize the children. They did not disciple them. Now, turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 22. The reason why judgment fell upon the household of Eli in the days of Samuel was because he did not disciple his sons, Ophni and Phinehas. God doesn't personally raise everybody. When he raises one person, that's a seed. That person carries the responsibility of passing on what they received from God to the next generation. That's not God's responsibility. That's why after God spoke to Adam, he didn't need to speak to Eve. Because Adam was supposed to teach Eve verbatim what God had said. But because he was a bad steward of what God said, there was an opportunity for Eve to be deceived. Adam did not tell Eve what God said. He added to it. And whenever you add to the word of God, you create room for deception. God said, you shall not eat of this tree. He didn't say you shall not touch it. The tree was in the garden. God said, tend the garden. Take care of the garden. How are you going to take care of it without touching it? That was the beginning of religion on earth. Where God has said something, then we add our own. Because we feel like what God said may not control the situation enough. Who told you that you need to be in control of the situation? Many times when we are prodding God and praying and fasting and pushing, that's the language, push. Push until something happens, things like this. Pray until something happens, things like this. What is that? Did God not hear you the first time? But it is faith to accept that he heard you and is working and sit. It takes faith to rest. That's why the Bible says there is a rest left to the people of God, but it is for those who believe. If you don't believe, there will be no rest. And your unrest will lead you outside of God's will. The Bible says the word was preached unto them as well as unto us, but the word being not mixed with faith did not profit them. If you didn't believe that Jesus said, whatsoever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive and you shall have it. If that's not enough, you're not going to receive. Because you'll be out of prayer. Then Satan, through some ignorant person, will convince you until you see it, it didn't happen. So we must pray until something changes. You began to walk by sight and not by faith, and you forfeited the results. And the Bible says when people behave like that, God swore they will never enter my rest. That swearing is still alive today. If you don't learn to believe, to be loaded with God's word, the rest prepared for you will remain a parable. You see. Okay? Are we there? We were looking at Proverbs 22:6. The Bible says, train up a child. It's a training. When the Bible says, as newborn children, desire the pure milk of the word of God that you may grow thereby. That pure milk. Have you ever seen an infant feeding themselves milk? They are fed. What is that? The responsibility is on the mature, which is discipleship. So the pure milk of the word of God that he talks about is not when you are alone reading your Bible, reading your book, you're like, ah, but why do I need discipleship? You see, we have relegated discipleship to a program. Discipleship is not a program. Discipleship is one type of four different kinds of relationships that we have with God. Okay, maybe I could mention that, right? As a by the way. There are at least four different types of relationships that human beings have had with God as far as the Bible is concerned. The first and the lowest type is servanthood. It is not the lowest because it lacks honor. It actually has the highest honor. That's why for Jesus to be exalted, the Bible says he took upon him the form of a servant. It is the first and the lowest. Lowest because it could be accessed without redemption. You didn't need Jesus to be a servant. There are many kings of old that were heathen, but God said they were my servants. Now, as the thing is, as long as they were servant, they had no right for a reward. Do you understand that? They had no right. It is like using a spoon and then thanking the spoon. You say, in the light of that, he asked, shall the thing that is formed question him that formed it? Can't. So if it was fashioned for this purpose, it will serve that purpose and God will remain God. That's what makes it the lowest. Okay, but there is a trick to it. There is something very interesting to it, okay? The next one, the next type of relationship with the Lord is what the Bible calls discipleship. Okay? Now, discipleship becomes different. Because discipleship can change the terms of your service, even if you're not born again. That's what Elisha used. That's what qualified Joshua. Joshua was the servant of Moses. But because of the word, everything changed when Moses left. He was the next in line. Elisha, the Bible says, he served Elijah. He washed the hands of Elijah. But because he was one of the sons of the prophets, his service meant something different. Discipleship can change the meaning of things in your life. Do you understand what we're saying? It can change your state. You are a child of God, I'm telling you. You've been doing your business, things are going well, things are average, you have this language of up and down, you know, things like that are normal to you. They should not, you just don't know. Now, what may carry your current estate to what God ordained is discipleship. It will change the meaning of you being a child of God. Do you understand that? Okay. The next one is friends. How many friends of God do you find in the Bible? There are multiple, but not that many. The farther up you go in the relationship types, the lesser the people. Now, at least before Jesus came, once you get to Jesus, you'll see things change, eh? Okay. Friendship with God is only formed through discipleship. Let me give you scriptures for that. Okay. John 15. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I say to you. Which means you must have the word first. So if you don't have the word, you can't do it. Having the word, that's discipleship. You see that? So the purpose of discipleship is to get you into that word-based relationship with God. It will change many things in your life. Now, there is something else he says about the friends. He said, I call you no more servants, but friends. Because all that the Father is doing, I have made known unto you. For a servant does not know what his master is doing. Because service is about, yes, sir. He said, I am doing. You don't have to understand. You don't have to get into the details. He said, I am doing. And you find a limitation in the Old Testament because for many people, all that the word of God permitted was service. No questions. You were born into the family of the high priests. You were meant to do what the priests were supposed to do. No questions asked. Now, if you submitted to the word of God, the definition of your priesthood began to change. That is what happened with David. He said, I have desired your word, celebrated over your word, more than when their corn and their wine abounded. He became a man that began to value God's word. This is why God said, I have not found a man like David, a man after my own heart, for being a man of the word. Not because of the amount of times he prayed and fasted. Not because of how right he walked. The Bible tells us David even ate things he was not qualified to eat under the law. And instead of that, God rewarded him, instead of judging him. The type of relationship begins to change when the word of God takes first place in your life. Okay? Then, Jesus brings in the highest form of relationship, which now becomes the lowest in the kingdom of God. All right? He brings in sonship. Through his sonship, he makes it possible for us to be born again. Now, when we are born again, we are called to be sons, but we are born children. There is a big difference. To get to sonship, you must be raised. Now, the more you are raised through the word of God, the more you as a child stops feeling entitled. But I'm a child in the house of God. I'm a child. There is this proud talk that many Christians have. When you discover you're a child of God, it hits you. Then you begin to, you know, there is a pomp and haughtiness that begins to accompany your attitude. Children of God, we are not servants. We are not servants. And you feel very proud. Discipleship will help you use your, what do you call it? Descent from God. The fact that you are a child of God, to serve Him. The meaning of your childhood begins to change. That's how Jesus got into glory. That though He was a son, yet for our sakes, the Bible says He took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, became obedient, the word. So you use your position in Christ to submit yourself to the word. Then the Bible says, because He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, therefore God also has highly exalted Him. He is our template. You're looking for exaltation in life? That's the formula. Praise God. Quick, as we finish. All right? So, discipleship guarantees next generation. So, dear parents in the house, train up your children in the way they should go, which means you need to know where they should be going. You're not gonna help them to get to where they're supposed to go if you don't know where you're going. But the word of God is a light, a lamp to your feet, a light for your path, that you may see where you're going. The call to discipleship is to aid you to not miss out on what God has prepared for you. Are you hearing what we are saying here? Praise the Lord. The next thing, oh God, I will skip that one. Okay, that's the smaller one. Then we finish with the bigger one and we call it, yeah? Discipleship is the strategy for successful spiritual warfare. Now, again, spiritual warfare is not what most of us think. All right? Praise God. It is not fighting with the devil. You are under attack if there is anything in your soul that keeps you from receiving from God. The attack has already come home. If your reasoning is keeping you from doing God, I'm telling you, the attack has already come home. The devil is already working on your mind. The Bible says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. To the degree that you're struggling with your faith, to that degree Satan is working on you. The Bible says, resist him, steadfast in your faith. You've got to develop your faith to handle that other world. But faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. And after that, he talks about the fact that nobody can be a minister of the word that imparts faith except they be sent. Whom did Jesus send? Only his disciples. You don't qualify to be sent if you're not first submitted to the word, committed to someone else. Come on, say this with me. In the name of Jesus, I purpose to be humble of heart and mind. Say it again. You need to hear yourself. Say, in the name of Jesus, I purpose to be humble of heart and of mind. Amen. Psalm 144 verse 1. You will see that what made David victorious is the fact that he was trained. He wasn't born a conqueror. He was trained to be one. Which means anybody could have been like David. And because David knew that, he trained his people. Who the Bible says when he met them, they were in debt. They were dismayed. The Bible says they were discontented. In fact, the Bible says everyone that was in debt, everyone that had discontentment in life, anybody that was disillusioned, these are the ones that followed David when his calling began to come out. He wasn't followed by mighty people. He was followed by people that looked like they have no future. As you're believing God, don't thank God just because someone in a suit and a big car is the one that came to church. They may not be the ones that stay. I'm telling you. He sent people to David that were broken. Because without the anointing, you cannot heal the broken hearts. Without the anointing, the broken hearts cannot be healed. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord God is working with me because he has anointed me. One, to preach the good news to the poor. Then the Bible says, he has sent me. The one who is sent to preach is the one who carries healing. They may not look like it. All the more reason why you need to be careful. They may not sound like it. All the more reason why you need to approach carefully. Because the anointing was on David, but it could not be seen. So Saul hunted him. Do you understand what we are saying? The anointing was on Jesus, but it could not be seen. So they were like, is it not the son of Joseph? It was not written Christ on his forehead. That's why he praised Peter when Peter saw that you are the Christ, the son of the living God. He said, that one, no flesh and blood can reveal to you. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches. It is taught. Which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Carry on. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower, and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdues the people under me. Hey. Praise the Lord. Walking with the Lord is something else. But you only qualify for this because you are trained. Because you are trained. 1834, some still. 1834, we begin to wind up. May I borrow about 10 minutes, please? Just 10? Pastor Stan? Okay. He teaches my hands to war. Listen to this. So that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. Tell me which formula you will use to bend steel with your hands. The Spirit of the Lord is called the Spirit of counsel and might. Isaiah chapter 11. Jesus is called the Wonderful Counselor. That is, the one whose counsel with you produces wonders. What is a wonder? A wonder is a question whose answer is God. Now, the Bible talks about miracles, signs, and wonders. They are very easy to define. Miracles are works done by the power of God. Signs are works that point to God. Wonders are works that leave a question mark whose answer is God. It's that simple. All of them by the power of the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says, he teaches my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. There needs to be happenings in your life whose answer cannot be explained but God. If you can still explain it, you still need God. You haven't gotten into God's wonderful works if you can still explain everything. time for the church to get ready to be comfortable, to have one answer to the world, to the marketplace. No principles. Principles are for the children of God. But the Bible says that you shall be for signs and for wonders in your generation, which means the things that take place in your life should point people to God. When people ask questions, the direction is God. When people have question marks, the answer is God. How did you come about this? Mary asked, how shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? The angel said, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be formed in thee shall be called the Son of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The last one, which is probably where we should have finished, but I know that whoever will be ministering next will get it. Praise the Lord. Pastor Stan. Nakurusha ngori, my brother. Finally, discipleship is the only way of deployment to the ministry. It's the only way. There is no other way. No matter what you are called or what calling is upon your life, it is as dormant as your response to discipleship. Go ye was not a message to everybody. It was only for the disciples. When you turn to the book of Acts chapter 6, I think that serves as one of the clearest examples here. I have a myriad, but for the interest of time, like we said, we give you what to start with. And in those days when the number of what? The disciples. Is it here? Ah, perfect. Thank you, sir. And in those days when the number of what? The disciples was multiplied. Did you notice it didn't say when the number of converts? Your contribution will not count in the house of God just because you are converted. That's why the ones that are multiplication is associated only with discipleship. The results that come outside of this don't may not count with God. They may not count. How many people do you know that got born again in a crusade, went back? The powerful conversion is not the conversation to be marveled about. What becomes of you out of discipleship is what matters. The Bible says when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring, problems of growth. Problems of growth. He said there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Carry on. Then the 12 called the multitude of what? The disciples to them. They could only summon them because they themselves were submitted to discipleship. God doesn't recognize your authority if you don't recognize authority. Angels don't recognize your authority unless you're submitted to authority. The Bible says the wives ought to cover, the Bible says, their heads before the Lord. Right? It says they ought to cover their heads before the Lord. And then it says that their heads are their husbands. Why? When they are praying. That means when they are praying, they only recognize the Lord Jesus. So they hide their husbands. They don't see their husbands. They see Jesus. But for husbands, he said, it is a blessing for a man to have short hair, because they ought not to cover their head. Why? He says there is the glory is on their head. Even for the wives, the same thing. The glory is on their heads. Now, when it comes to relating with the Lord, they don't see their husband. They talk directly to the Lord, for he's the only mediator. When it comes to the man, the man's head is the Lord, the Bible teaches. So when he says to keep short hair, he's not talking about going to the barber shop. He's saying your head ought to be uncovered. That means your head ought to be recognizable. Yo, you will not be recognized before the Father if you don't know Jesus. You will not be recognized by the Father because of your husband. But the Bible says, because of this, women ought to have glory on their head because of the angels. That means the ministry of the angels to wives depends on how well they submit to their husbands. Look, there is nothing on earth that is ordered by itself. These things are not very complicated. They're simple. All right? Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should what? Leave the word of God to serve tables. This is what they became because of discipleship. They got into what? Their apostleship. Even though they were called to it, the gateway was discipleship. Now, I want you to watch some other figures that are amongst this multitude of disciples. They also get into their ministries shortly. All right? Okay. Wherefore, brethren, look out from what among you don't import. Lata kabarenda gebaye. Do not import leadership. No outsourcing. You can do that with your company, not with the house of God. Look, the Bible says, look out from among you. Let me tell you, there are people here that God is raising for ministry. Get ready. There are people here whom God is raising for ministry. The Bible says, look out from among you seven men of what? Honest report. Report from who? From the brethren amongst whom they are. If you're a disciple, then the other disciples must know you. The Bible says, among you, seven men of what? Honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. Which means, if you're full of the Spirit, people should be able to tell. There are tokens that the Spirit of God loads your life. If you don't know how to identify these things, your opinion was not qualified here. Do you understand? Praise the Lord. The Bible says, full of the Holy Ghost and what? And wisdom. The Bible says, whom we may appoint. They don't appoint people that have not been disciples. Do you understand? The Bible says, whom we may appoint over this business. So, if anybody here is thinking, you are dissatisfied with Rivers Church, so maybe you need to go to another church to get into service, you will get in a way that God does not approve. Which means the result will not be what you think. In this church, I thought I was called to be a pastor. I should be sitting there. Nobody's one here. Nobody has recognized me. 2 years, brother. Sister. If a calling is on your life from God, through discipleship, the calling will be endorsed. David was called by God as a kid. When he was a grown-up, the people who helped him get into the calling of God were the elders. That's why the Bible calls the church the house of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. And yet the Bible says the Holy Spirit is the truth, which means the Spirit's truth will be with the people. Do you understand what we are saying? Okay? So he said, whom we may appoint over this business, move on. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Praise the Lord. Pastor Stan loves this one, eh? Verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, hey, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed and laid hands. Hey. Okay. When they had prayed and they laid their hands on them. Verse 7. And the word of God increased. La, 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 la. For laying hands on people that they may serve tables. In the house. Remember, guys, these people are not being laid hands upon to go and be evangelists. But when they laid hands upon them to serve tables in the house of God, God also laid hands upon them that they may become evangelists. Come on, watch. And the word of God increased, and the numbers of the disciples multiplied. The number of the disciples multiplied greatly. And a great company of the priests also were obedient to the faith. It began to influence high places because of discipleship, sir. Stay on course. Amen. Verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power. Initially, he was full of the wisdom of God and of the Holy Spirit. When hands were laid on him because of discipleship, the Holy Spirit turned to power and the wisdom turned to faith. What is the result? The Bible says, he did great wonders and miracles among the people. Hey. Let me tell you, when a change takes place through God in your life, the same people that you've been living amongst, those tokens will be evident to all of them. You don't need new people. If you need to announce yourself about how God is doing a great and mighty and new thing with you, it is not yet. It is not yet. Submit to this. Philip didn't put the timeline. Stephen didn't put the timeline. Peter and the other apostles didn't know this would happen. That was not their job. Their job was to minister the word. Their job was to appoint leaders from among them. Their job was to lay hands on them and commission them. Their job was to recognize they were disciples. Their job was to minister the word of God and pray. While they did that, mighty things happened in the congregation. Praise the Lord. Rise up on your feet. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, somebody. Praise the Lord. I wish you could go off on this streak. You will not be the same. Praise the Lord. But this is amazing. It's important for you to know that whatever calling God has upon your life is dependent upon how much you submit to the word and how much you submit to one another. That's why the Bible says, submit yourselves to one another with humility. Esteem each other better than yourselves. Amen? Lift up your hand, someone, toward God and just adore him. Worship him. Tell him, dear Lord, I yield. I yield to your calling on my life. I yield. I trust you with the great things up ahead. I know you will not fail. I know you will not fail. But strengthen me now by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask you for greater manifestations of your mercy in my life. To help me to be humble as I should. To help me to recognize what you're doing. To be a part of what you're doing in my life. To not be the assassin against my own destiny. But to be a partner with you for the future you've called me to.
Thank you for sticking into the end. We hope you are blessed by this message. Follow us for more of these messages when new episodes drop. And make sure to rate us so that more people can find out about us. Bye-bye.